thanks to Elvis Insurance, Hunter Valley. Always there for you. It's 26 minutes to 10. And joining me in the studio this morning is New South Wales Opposition Leader Jodie McKay. Jodie, how are you doing this morning?
I'm well, Jess. It's very nice to see you again.
It's lovely to have you in our part of the world again.
Thank you. I'm always here. But most people would say I'm a little bit biased to the Hunter, however. But, you know, as Labor leader, I love being here.
Fantastic. And today you are travelling through the area for a very important reason. Last week, news came out that was confirmed that the state government is selling Scone TAFE in Scone, which came as a bit of a surprise, I guess, to a lot of people. There were rumours for quite a while that this was happening.
Yeah, look, I think this is really sad. I think it's short-sighted and, you know, we'll do whatever we can to change the government's mind on this. Obviously, this has been around, I think, since 2015. Michael Johnson, the local MP, made a commitment that it would never be sold. And obviously, last week we found out that on a real estate listing online that they were going down this path. And I think that's incredibly disrespectful to the community, because they weren't consulted, they weren't communicated with. It just suddenly appeared online and the government is moving down this path. But this comes at a time also, Jess, where we've got, you know, youth unemployment over 18%, where we've got a need to diversify the Hunter. And I think people know that I've always been strong on that. And what are we doing? We're selling a TAFE college. It doesn't make sense.
Mm. We have a connected learning centre in Scone. They have popped up in various areas of the Upper Hunter. I was in Corindai on the weekend, there's one there as well. They're good, but they're not the same, are they?
No, look, they're shop fronts. That's all they are. I mean, there's no practical application. And if you're talking about how you build skills and you make sure that those skills allow young people or whoever wants to study, quite frankly, to get a good paying, safe job into the future, then you give them the best possible opportunity and start. And that's what TAFE has always been about. Government has a responsibility to do that. And we've seen this government really undermine TAFE, and I've really despaired about that. But, you know, selling a campus is really putting an end to having that sort of practical approach in an area that really needs to be focused on jobs. You know, Jess, when I was young living in this area, I was living in Gloucester, obviously. I was forced to leave Gloucester to get a job. I don't want that to keep happening. Mm. I want young people to be able to get a job where they grow up if that is what they want. And this is part of that undermining of skills, part of the lack of, foresight in understanding what the jobs are here in the future. And there's such a great opportunity. And I'm really sad that this is happening, and we're going to do whatever we can to stop it. And I think Michael Johnson needs to stand up and say that this isn't happening. I believe he's supporting it, which is just extraordinary.
I mean, the chances of this not happening are potentially quite slim. So let's say this does go ahead, it does get sold. There is somebody or a company or a business or whoever it might be who does purchase the site and runs it as an educational facility. The positive could be that it becomes a bigger equine educational facility. You know, let's look at
well,
that positive.
You know, I've heard that Michael Johnson has mentioned an RTO. If you look at the parameters of this on the online site, it talks about accommodation, it talks about housing, it talks about tourism. There's no guarantee that an RTO will ever take this over and it'll be a training facility. That is not within the documents that are there. So I think people want publicly funded TAFE. People love TAFE, you know.
Yeah.
There's a great attraction to it. There's a deep belief in, as I said, the role of government to educate and upskill anyone who wants it. I keep saying young people, but I feel really passionate about that when I see the unemployment rate for young people here. You know, it was something like 12% in February last year. It's now well over 18%. And at that terrible, terrible time, we're selling a TAFE campus, 18 hectares. The opportunity there is enormous, and we're throwing it out the window. I don't understand it, and, you know, I don't see it as a fait accompli. We're going to fight it. We'll stand with the community. I know Michael Johnson's obviously getting a lot of pressure on this. He's closed down his Twitter account, so I believe he's been inundated with people who oppose this, and I would urge the community to continue to do this. This is where you have to stand up. This is where you have to say no to selling government assets and absolutely no to selling a TAFE campus.
Yeah. You've mentioned mentioned the unemployment rate, the government, of course, we're talking about selling the TAFE. The State of the States report has recently been released. And once upon a time, New South Wales was actually number one. We were leading the country and now we're number six.
Yeah, this has only come out in the last day or so, but it's a really important indicator, I think. So there's a ComSec report, State of the State report. They look at, I think, eight indicators. And New South Wales is number six, just above the Northern Territory. So I think that is really concerning. And I think what that has shown is that the government's stimulus measures out of this COVID environment have not worked. The government has a real focus on building big infrastructure projects. So, for instance, last week it announced that it was pursuing the Western Harbour Tunnel, Northern Beaches Tunnel, you know, more than $14 billion. But it's always about these big infrastructure projects in Sydney. Mm. As a girl who grew up in the Hunter region, I think that we should be looking at how we're creating jobs in areas like this as well. And it's not just about big infrastructure projects. You know, we've got legislation before the Parliament right now, which is to lock in a requirement by government to use its procurement power to create manufacturing jobs and other jobs. And I would love to think that the government would sort of focus on that, not just on how you create construction jobs in Sydney.
Mm. We're catching up with New South Wales Opposition Leader Jodie McKay this morning. Do you think that us dropping in that ComSec data, you know, we've gone through a pandemic, which this government hasn't done before. They've tried their best to deal with it, to put the stimulus packages out there, to try and make sure New South Wales gets through to the other side. I mean, do we just use that as an excuse and say, well, it was a pandemic?
No, well, look, every other state has gone through the pandemic as well. You know, look at Victoria. Every other state has gone through it. So I don't think that that's an excuse that the government can use. I just think that there's a short-sightedness at the moment, focused on one thing only. And I think, you know, when you look at a COVID, you know, we look at the pandemic, we didn't see this coming. We came out of bushfires, we came out of a drought, and we really didn't see this coming. But what we haven't done is adjust, the government hasn't done is adjust its policy setting. They were pursuing these massive infrastructure projects in Sydney last year and the year before and the year before that. They haven't actually changed. And there has to be some recognition that there have been massive deficiencies exposed within the economy. And one of those, I come back to this legislation we've got before the Parliament, one of those is that we've been cut off from the rest of the world. So there are things we can't buy. There is interaction that we can't have. There are products that can't come into the country. So how do we use that as something positive? And that is about growing our ability to actually make things. And, you know, the government, New South Wales government, has a procurement budget of about $30 billion a year. Let's use that. I remember living here, Jess. I remember growing up. I remember being a young journalist and going to Gininnan, you know, and so much pride when we had the trains, Forjaks when we had the ferries. Yes. All that's gone. They're now constructed in China and Malaysia, billions and billions of dollars that have been offshored. If government was required to look at the jobs it creates locally as part of its assessment of these big projects, then you would see areas like the Hunter benefit, because you would see a commitment and a requirement by government to look at not just what are the jobs you're creating in the first instance, but what are the jobs in the supply chain? Mm. How is that being enforced by government? So we'd have a jobs first advocate. We would make sure that right throughout the supply chain, there's a commitment to local jobs, and we would weigh up what that means in communities like the Upper Hunter. Because if you're creating jobs here, that's got to be better than just weighing up what is the, you know, how can the government get this the cheapest it can? And that's why it's offshoring these jobs to China. And you know, but if you weigh it up in the context of a greater benefit to the community, you're going to get a better outcome.
And on those local jobs and manufacturing more down under, the Nationals have released their strategic plan to double what we manufacture down under. What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's like an 8 or 9 point plan. Yeah. And I think one of it is building a new coal-fired power station here in the Upper Hunter. I think the other thing that they're proposing is some sort of manufacturing office. But there's nothing. I mean, what are you going to do out of the office? They haven't told us what you're actually going to do out of this manufacturing office they're going to build. So I think if they're serious, they would convince the National Party at a state level, you know, this is one of the things they can do, is to do what we're doing, which is to put legislation before the Parliament to require government to do this. Mm-hmm. You can't just talk about it. You can't just open an office and put a couple of people in there. You know, we've seen the state government do that through the old Department of Premier and Cabinet. We've seen, you know, I was Minister for the Hunter, so I had control of that when I was here in the Hunter. that was the focus then. What is the focus now that actually secures those jobs and gives people a future, makes sure there's opportunity? And you do that by putting this in legislation, and that's what we're proposing.
Yeah. Well, Jodie, it's been a pleasure having you in the studio this morning. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Jess. And it's always good to see you. And I'll be tagging you in my Instagram like I always do. And I love your Instagram. So thank you. I love being here. Thank you.
Excellent. No worries. That was New South Wales opposition leader Jodie McKay. If you missed it, we will have it up on our website later today. It's 16 minutes to 10. Good morning.